Advent. Blessed be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The prophet Jeremiah promises that God will restore the flocks which have been scattered, and the shepherds responsible will suffer. May shepherds tremble in fear at the call they face, that of faithful leadership, and may the sheep take comfort that their good shepherd will find and restore them. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 46, which can be found on page 4 in your bulletins. We will read in unison. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth. It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, fills all creation with his great power. Any energy we expend is meant to come from his stores rather than ours, to give glory to him. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyful giving, thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. Isn't it nice to see a change in the color of the altar pyramids? I thought it would be green maybe till Jesus came back, so this is nice to see. The gospel this morning, it's from the crucifixion. We're at the end of the season of Pentecost. Next week starts Advent. And we hear about the time of the death of Jesus on the cross, but particularly about the criminals who were there with him, starting at verse 35 of Luke 23. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Are you excited? This is Thanksgiving week?
Yes.
Not that much. For me, it means I'm cooking. A blessing in my family is my children and grandchildren prefer ham. So there's not that much to do. For those of you who have to stuff and do many other things to a dead bird, God bless you. In between services, this is unrelated to anything. I was thinking about, you know, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. And it used to be a shopping day. And then a few years ago, Black Friday extended into Thanksgiving afternoon. And now this year, you hear about Black Friday at least a week before Black Friday. And so that special day when businesses finally come into the black becomes irrelevant because every business wants to beat every other business. So it's a very odd thing to try to grasp. Now, as I warned you, that has nothing at all to do with the message. But I want to take you to Psalm 46 that we read in unison, and just the very beginning of the concept of what it teaches. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." The Psalms 46 through 48 are seen as a trilogy that were very likely written about the time that when Hezekiah was king, that the Assyrians came ready to destroy Jerusalem and make it a vassal city and state. And by God's grace, he intervened and spared the city. And so these psalms are psalms of thanksgiving about what the Lord had done in their lives. Some scholars believe that even King Hezekiah had written the psalms. And when you think about thanksgiving, gratefulness, to me, a strong belief in God, who is our creator and provider and hope giver, is central to thanksgiving. If we don't understand that he is there above, behind, beneath us, then it's very difficult to be thankful other than for ourselves. And so he becomes really the foundation for thanksgiving. So think about that for yourself. Real simple. He's our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we don't need to fear. At some point in our lives, We all face circumstances that we believe are just more than we can handle. How do I get through this? How do I deal with this? This is overwhelming. And that's really where the Israelites were in Jerusalem when Sennacherib and the Assyrian horde came against the city. They were delivered, but not because of anything that they had done, other than the king called out to God, "God, look at what our enemies and your enemies are doing to your city and your temple." And God intervened in just a powerful way. We usually don't personally experience the earth-shaking disasters that the psalm talks about, but sometimes it can feel as though our life is being shaken apart. Hebrews talks about that time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that's what it was like for the Israelites in this day. So think about those three aspects. First, that God is our refuge, a place of shelter where we can hide for protection. As a boy, in two different places that we had lived, both in North Olmsted, myself and a couple of friends built tree houses. And it was one of those things that didn't matter what it was, if we had trouble at school, if we had to feel like we had to escape from our parents for a little bit in elementary school days, we could go to our treehouse. It was our secret place. Oh, neighbors probably knew about it, but it was our secret place where we could go and be alone, kind of our refuge, our space that wasn't our home, but it was our space. And when you think about Thanksgiving and then Christmas right on its heels, sometimes we need a place of refuge, a quiet place. For me, that place is usually found in reading a book, listening to music, and sometimes taking a walk with headphones on, listening to my favorite music. It's a place apart. It's not necessarily for me a physical location, but it's a way that I can escape what seems like a very hectic, challenging time. And books and music do that for me. There's a very similar passage in Psalm 91, the first couple of verses. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him." And so, where is your place of refuge? When you need a quiet place, where do you go? Do you understand that when you are under stress, that you might have a sanctuary, a place that the Bible sometimes talks about as under the wings of the Almighty, a place where you know that no matter what's happening in your life, in your family, that you find shelter? To me, that's such an important aspect. David, King David, found shelter, found refuge in the Lord from his enemies. For years, King Saul sought David's life, sought to kill him because he saw him as a threat. And yet God always protected David. He knew that in some way that the Lord was watching over him. So he felt as though God was his shelter or his refuge. That's such an important thing to have. Where is yours? Then secondly, Psalm 46 talks about the fact that God is our strength. Those times in our lives when we feel depleted, when struggles come, when it seems as though our strength is drained from us. But at those times, Scripture says that God will be our undergirding or our strength. One time in David's life, before he was on the throne, he had returned to Ziklag, and he discovered, and his army discovered, that all of their families and all of their wives had been captured by the enemy and carried off. And it says in 1 Samuel, listen to this, chapter 30, verse 6, "David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." The Lord is our strength. How do you do that? How do you strengthen yourself
in God. Think about that. For me, it's a matter of reading Scripture, reminding myself of myself, not myself, I'm not plural yet, but reminding myself of promises God has made for our lives, words that in the past have been spoken over me prophetically. Those strengthen me. When trials come, like David, do you try to do it on your own, or do you find a place of strength in God like David did? When I was in the hospital and for about a week or so afterwards at home, for whatever reason, my physical strength had really been drained. And for a while, Finn was the one who really stood in for me in those areas where I couldn't do for myself. Things as simple as, because of an issue with my right hand, of opening a jar of pasta sauce. I confess I don't make my own. I know. But I needed help at times to do things that I normally couldn't do. God is our strength. There are times in your life when you face situations that you cannot do this by yourself. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Have you learned that for yourself? It's such an important thing when you are at a vulnerable place. He will be your strength. And then the third aspect of Psalm 46, the first couple of verses, is that God is a very present help in trouble. God provides refuge and strength, but he's also there when we're in trouble. Go back to the gospel reading. Jesus is on the cross. Where was God in the worst time in your life? Well, for the criminal who was about to die, who looked to Jesus and said, "When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" God in Christ was there with him in the worst time in his life. That's the ultimate meaning of having Jesus Christ in the middle of any struggle that we have. He is there with us. He has gone through much worse than we could ever go through. I read this week that the Hebrew word for trouble means a narrow or tight space where you can't turn to the right or the left. You can't back up or go forward. When you're in that kind of struggle, that kind of space, the Bible says the Lord will be your help in a time of trouble. He will open up space that you couldn't open up for yourself. And the truth is, trouble comes into our lives, in all of our lives. If it's not there today, it will be. And the Psalm says that the Lord is the one who can be a refuge, a strength, and a help in trouble. But we have to ask, we have to call out like Hezekiah did, like David did many times. And listen to this. This is from the New Testament, Hebrews 3, 5, and 6. For he himself has said, I love this, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What circumstances in your life can overwhelm that promise so that we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear? I was reading earlier this week about an early missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor, who first went to China, and he was on a sailboat, and they were going near some islands where it was known that cannibals lived on the island, and the ship, the wind had died, the ship was slowly drifting toward the shore, and on the ship, the men were imagining that the cannibals were expecting their version of Thanksgiving, that a great feast was coming, and that was literally the case. And so the captain came to the stateroom of Hudson Taylor and said, "We are in danger. Would you pray to the Lord to send a wind so that we can get away from these treacherous islands and get to China?" And Hudson Taylor said, "If you will set your sail, I will pray." And the captain said, "I will not be ridiculed by my seamen and putting up the sail when there is no wind." And Taylor said, I will not pray until you set the sail. And so the captain yielded. Hudson Taylor prayed. A great wind came and began to move the ship away from the island. A few minutes later, there was another knock on the door, and the captain was there and said, Mr. Taylor, are you still praying for wind? And Taylor said, yes, of course I am. Please stop. There's more wind than we can manage. How can I fear, or what do I have to fear when trouble comes, when I know that the Lord is completely present in whatever struggle I face today? That's the promise of Psalm 46. It does not mean that you will never have a struggle. It doesn't mean that you will not at times feel overwhelmed. But it means that no matter what you are facing right now or what you're about to face, the Lord will be there. He will be a refuge, a place of security and escape as you go through a difficult time. He's that place of strength when you cannot do this by yourself, and he's an ever-present help in trouble. Whether you're in desperate need of a wind, or if you're at the extreme, like the criminal on the cross at the end of your life, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The criminal could do nothing. He was in that completely tight, powerless place. And yet, through the words of Jesus at near his time on the cross of death, he brought freedom and release to that captive. It's an amazing faith we have that even in the most challenging of times, our Lord is with us. It's what we believe. It's what we're about to confess. But are you personally experiencing it in your life? That's where true peace and security comes. So let's stand together as we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Today's prayers of the people are found on page 7 of your bulletin. We're doing Form 3. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, and a special blessing on Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers to your world and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in this nation and the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, and we especially ask that you are remindful to pray daily for the people on our prayer request list, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal light.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Please join me in the closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us.
Reveal to us the initiatives we should take, for nourishing ourselves with your word,
for supporting each other in Christian fellowship,
for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit.
We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided in this season. We are grateful
for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation
and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another. and to you.
Wonderful sermon.
Thank you.
Pete, you want to kick us off?
Good morning. This is just a quick reminder that next Saturday night, the 30th, we're having our Mexican dinner here at the church at 6 o'clock. All are invited. So please come, bring your friends, relatives, neighbors, whoever, grab them off the street. The more the merrier. Thank you.
Ladies' Night Out is Monday night, tomorrow night. So be sure and let Teddy know if you're going to be there. No? December 2nd, she says. Right. I'm 1 week ahead of myself. Well, tell her anyhow. Right. So we need Advent's coming up, as Paul has already mentioned and others have mentioned. We need Advent wreath readers. So if you would like to, the first Sunday is actually next Sunday. It's the Sunday before December 2nd, before Ladies' Night Out. So we will need some readers for these next four Advent Sundays. So please leave a note or let me know. Leave a note for Joanne or let me know, and we'll make that your availability known to her. Christmas poinsettias. If you would like to have one or more poinsettias adorn the altar during the Christmas time, either in memory or in Thanksgiving, please, $10, leave the check or cash with the note, please. And finally, we will be having a Christmas Eve service on December 24th at 9 p.m., one service. So please mark your calendars and kind of plan your family get-togethers accordingly. One service, 9 o'clock, candlelight service. Ray will be praying with you and back for during communion, so please join Ray if you'd like to have him lift up prayers on your behalf or those of others. Peace be with you.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who by water and the Holy Spirit has made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth thy glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink from this cup. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Thank you.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join me now in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive.
eternal God,
Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us
as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. From Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Blessed as you prepare and celebrate Thanksgiving, and today go in peace and serve the Lord.